Hi, I'm an addict named Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Jessica and I were debating on who was going first, so we were wondering, it looks like it's me. We have a moment of silence here to let my higher power kick in. Thank you. I'm glad I was asked here to speak at the, religious, not spiritual program. Don't run off. I was just joking there. I don't know. A little bit of my story. If I'd have heard somebody make that joke here, I'd have probably ran before I'd heard it said it was just a joke. Because I don't know. I was raised. My parents were divorced when I was 3 years old, and I was raised bouncing back between the two of them. I was mostly with my mom, but they were both very religious people, and. But with different ideas and different churches, and they hopped around from different church and different, it was mainly Christian denominations, but it was, I went up through dozens of churches growing up. And I was really turned off of religion, probably in my teenagers. My mother went to Oklahoma, and she came back 2 weeks later speaking in tongues and just really out there. And, I was really embarrassed at that age. I didn't feel like I fit in with people to begin with. And I got this, what I considered a lunatic mother at this time, comes back and speaking in tongues and shaking and doing all this stuff. And, I don't know, that was sort of the last straw with me for religion. I always believed in God, but I never really believed that God gave a shit for the longest time. So when I was eventually fast-forwarding years later and first really starting to realize that maybe I did have a drug problem and was in outpatient rehab and was told I needed to attend meetings and they had these 12 steps up on the wall, and I saw the word God on there. I didn't see the as I understood him. I only saw God. I'm thinking, it's a Christian cult. I'm out. And, my open-mindedness, was, I had no open-mindedness at the time. I was incapable of practicing that spiritual principle at that time. And unfortunately, it took me a couple more years until I became so beaten down as that I was willing to try anything. And, for me, that difference between the religion, which, I see, is the man-made belief in what what each organization's God of their understanding they've created. It's, to me, it's more of a man-made way to follow their particular higher power. And today I have my God of my understanding. And I don't practice any religion currently, but I have a very, very strong belief in a higher power. It seems to me, what I've seen in the program, is these spiritual principles, of which I want to touch on, the basic ones, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, that they, they transcend any religion. I mean, there are certain basic truths that it doesn't matter, I don't think, what you believe in or what your higher power is or what religion you practice, that these spiritual principles apply to all of them. And they're more like human truths. The spiritual principles, when I'm practicing them, and by saying practicing, I think all of the spiritual principles, to me, are action words. You actually have to put effort forth in order to get something back and to get the benefits of these spiritual principles. They can't be just saying, well, I can't sit back there and say, well, okay, I believe in that. That's good. That's me. It doesn't work that way for me. When I came in here, I always thought I was an honest person. Let's start with honesty, because I think honesty, to me, is the root of all of this. I was always a pretty honest person, mostly, until I started smoking crack cocaine, and then there was no, then I couldn't practice honesty on any level. Now, I really wasn't honest prior to that. I just thought I was being honest, so I was lying to myself. So I was still practicing dishonesty prior to that, but crack cocaine somehow is like the super dishonesty drug for me. I'd go to, you know, actually this is a real example. I went to Burger King, or it's the other way around. No, I went to McDonald's, and when I came home, my ex-wife said, "Well, where were you?" And I said, "I went to McDonald's." You know, it's just like, and I can remember saying to myself, "Well, why? Why did I just do that?" You know, I couldn't tell the truth about anything. And when you're not being honest, that means that down the road you have to cover those lies with more dishonesty. And I couldn't be honest with myself. I had to eventually accept that I was an addict and I had a problem and be honest about this with myself. Once I started being honest, once I came into the rooms, and again, I remember that last day. I wanted to die. And when I first came into the rooms, I was like, okay, whatever. And that's one of the first things I remember hearing was the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And pretty much from day one, I started being honest with others. And that opened up so much relief within me that I didn't have to cover up everything I said that I'd say to one person over there that I had to cover it up with, you know, remember who I told what. And it was just horrible. That relief came almost immediately for me. It was the self-dishonesty that I have to watch. I can believe I'm being honest when I'm not, because in my mind I think I'm being honest. And I have to really watch that. I still have to watch that today. That's something I have to practice. You know, what are my motives behind things? You know, why am I doing this? Am I truly being honest with myself? Because I'm telling a lie to you if I'm not being honest to myself, and I'll think I'm telling you the truth. The open-mindedness, when I came in here, I was wide open. I just, my way didn't work anymore. I tried for the longest time, you know, through outpatient rehab and through what people have taught me and things that I read, that I always picked and chose my own recovery. I didn't believe certain things applied to me or certain things would work for me. And I had to be willing to take a chance with this program that it would work for me. And that I could see, you know, right away once I started to get to know some people, some people in here had 15, 20 plus years. And I was like, how in the world are they doing that? And some people say they didn't believe the people when they came in that they had that much time. I had no question. I had no problem with believing it. I just was like dumbfounded that they could actually do it. It was amazing to me. But that was the gift of desperation when I came in. That it just opened my mind, and I was like, okay, if it works for all these people, maybe it can work for me. And I have to remain open-minded. Again, that's practicing, because when the new ideas come, I can't automatically shut them out. And sometimes I want to do that. But I always have to, like, run things through before I dismiss now. I try to be open-minded in order to do that. As far as willingness, again, that gift of desperation, you know, I was willing to do whatever it took because the alternative was killing myself at that time. Today, that's my hardest one. Because life is better. You know, I have these character defects that are, you know, called laziness and procrastination. And they're a mother. They really interfere with my willingness sometimes. And I have to actively you know, pray, you know, to have those, you know, to have those defects removed in order that I continue to have my willingness. And, you know, I'm on my sixth step currently, so I'm becoming well aware of my character defects. And along with the spiritual principles that I can apply to counteract those character defects. There's so many of them. I didn't count on my list, so I don't know how many there are, but I know there's a couple of dozen, you know, with trust and faith and hope, as some others. But these are, as I said at the beginning, these all transcend religion. They're something that if we all practice, we can stay clean just one more day at a time. I know when I do it to the best of my ability, I have yet to pick back up. And I say yet because I know it's always a possibility. But as long as I remain vigilant and actively practice my spiritual principles that I'm learning, that I have a chance today. And with that, just remember one thing. Don't isolate, we isolate. There is no we in isolate. So. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Jessica, from the LBG Group of NA in the Northeast area of NA.
LBG is Lower Borough Group, best home group in Northeast area. Anyway, my name is Jessica, and I am an addict. I'd like to start off by saying that I was in the car when Tom got the call for this, and I was like, haha, that's perfect for you. And the guy seen me a couple weeks after that and was like, oh, don't worry, I'm asking you too. And because he didn't actually ask me, I just ignored it and pretended, and then he called me three times. And so I had to do it. But I thought it was much funnier when he had to do it. But I'd like to pray for a minute. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I don't know. I grew up, like, whenever I was younger, I went to, like, Catholic school, and we went to church, not regularly, but, you know, sort of regularly on holidays and stuff like that. And for our family, that was pretty regular. I grew up, like, Catholic, and I don't know, like, my grandma always made me go to church, and, like, I don't know, it was just weird, I don't know. It was like, she wanted to be real religious, but really wasn't, and it was just odd, you know? And so, like, from an early age, I was sort of confused, because I'd see these people in church, and, you know, it was just... And I thought it was real boring, and I hated going because they sang and kneeled and stepped out, and it was just, it was really boring. I hated it. I don't know. As I got older, I was about 16, I think, and I got pregnant whenever I was really young. I had my son whenever I was 16. So from then on, I sort of wanted, you know, because I had a kid, I'm like, okay, I got to start acting more mature, and I got to find something, and, you know, I got to have something for him to believe in, and I just started searching things. And then as I went to church a couple times around then, and I started, like, examining, like, you know, what the Catholic religion was, and then once I looked into it, and they didn't believe in birth control, they didn't believe in unwed motherhood, and they didn't believe in this and that. And I felt like a big hypocrite. And I was like, well, how am I going to, you know, go to church and believe in this and try to teach this to my son, and I'm not following what they believe in? So I think it was like, I remember it being around that time that I made, like, a conscious decision, well, I'm not going to be Catholic anymore. So I don't know, my mother had got, when she got clean, she started going to, like, a Lutheran church. And I remember going there periodically. And I always liked going to church because I always liked being connected. I always was searching for that spiritualness. I wanted that. I wanted that real bad. And I didn't know where to look. So all I knew at that time was church. So when we would go there, I would try to feel that void, feel something. And I don't know. It wasn't always there. So, I don't know. As I grow older, I realized that, like, I would search into, like, all these, I would look into, like, all these different religions, and I would find something wrong with each one. Like, I remember little stories from the Bible, like, you know, people seeing things and, you know, and the burning bush and, you know, people hallucinating. And I always thought more logically about it, like, well, if you don't eat or drink for 18 days, of course you're going to see things. And so, like, I started to disbelieve, like, even what was written in the Bible because I just didn't. I just, like, tried to make logic out of it. And it just didn't make sense to me. So, you know, I found that coming to these rooms, it's not only, I found that my answer is not in religion. Religion to me is something that it's like a set of rules. My personality from my natural personality is to break rules and not follow rules and not be conformed into what everybody else is doing. So, like, religion didn't work for me. I realized that I needed something more. When I started using, I would use and then I would pray. I would use and I knew that that wasn't what God wanted for me. I knew that. I knew that from the very beginning that that wasn't what I was supposed to do, but I just didn't understand why a lot of things happened in life. I didn't understand why, you know, I don't know. I grew up, whenever I got into relationships later on, I never felt connected. My baby's father shot himself in his head. And whenever that happened, I really started to question, like, why everything? And, like, I didn't want to live anymore. So I started using a little more. My disease progressed. And as my disease progressed, I started to, like, really not have any faith at all. I knew deep down my human life, I was supposed to be a mother. And that disease took that away from me. And, God, I was crying. But, you know, once that was gone, I was like, well, I can't even do this. And I would pray, like, I just want to stop. And if I can't do this, I just want to die. And the last time I relapsed, I went to rehab 18 times at the end. And because my counselor told me 18 was going to be my lucky number. And so far it's been. You know, I got this, it just sucks, you know, because I prayed and I prayed that in the last time I couldn't do it. So I said, well, I must not be meant to be a mother, and that must not be my thing. So I, like, disappeared. And as I disappeared, and, like, not even from, like, my family and stuff, but, like, my soul inside just, like, slipped away. Because I was doing everything that I hated about other people doing, everything that I said I wouldn't do, everything that I knew was wrong I was doing. And I knew that was wrong, and I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. But at that point in time, it's like I was against my will. It was all against my will. But, you know, towards the end of my last run, it was those prayers again, either, all right, God, I just want to die, or I just want to do something, you know, or give me some help. And, you know, my help came in getting arrested 2 or 3 times towards the end, and, you know, a cop giving me a chance, saying, I don't want to give you any charges. I don't want to do this. Just go and get some help. I went to that, you know, that the drug and alcohol intake that they made me do, and I did that, and they was like, well, just try rehab one more time. And I was like, I was there 17 times. What the hell is another rehab going to do? And she was like, I don't know, but just go. So this time I went, and my counselor said, you know, 18 is going to be your lucky number, and we really worked on some things. I didn't try to rush things. I remember I would always come to these retreats either detoxing or, you know, high or just like, I don't know, I just didn't, I wanted to be a part of, but I didn't want to stop, I wanted to stop using, I wanted to be part of, but I just didn't know how to change my life so that I didn't do that ever again. I had so much desperation last time because I was so empty and so lonely and just sick of myself that this time I was willing to listen. I was willing to work. I was willing to do whatever I had to do. And I'm real grateful for that because in that desperation, I sat down long enough to listen, and I sat down long enough to hear that there's a better way of life and that, you know, the spiritual principles of not only this program, but of life, you know. I don't even like saying normal people because, I don't know, I go to school and, you know, I see normal people all the time, and they don't seem that great to me. So I wanted a better way of life. I didn't want to be normal because, and I never wanted to go back to what I was because even in the beginning I was lost. I was just like this hurt little girl, and I didn't know what direction to go. So it's like I never wanted to go back there because, you know, that's a state of confusion. So what I wanted out of being clean this time was a better way of life. I wanted to better myself, to be a better mother, to be a better daughter, to be a better friend. And I found that in the spiritual principles, you know, being honest, open-minded, willing, having faith, trusting, being forgiving, being patient, being kind. It's just some little things that I think, like, everybody in their everyday life should do. And obviously it's a lot more, it's easier said than done. Like the tolerance, you know. I feel that if I'm tolerant, like, I try to be tolerant. I try to be patient. And, you know, I pray for that because it's like, I know that if I'm jumping to the, you know, I want the end result, it's right away. It's never going to be good, and I'm never going to cherish it. So I found out that I have to really work for something, and I have to go through a lot of pain for it to, for me to stick with it. And I'm real grateful for these spiritual principles. I'm real grateful for a different way of life. I'm glad this isn't a religious program because, you know, for me, like I said, I think religion is more like, you know, it's a set rules and this is the way you have to be. And I feel that the spiritualist, like, is just a little more, gives you a little more leeway, and it gives me a way to just design my life for what I want. I was able in my second step to design what I thought my higher power was. I can't explain what my higher power is. I can't, like, I don't have, like, I can't say exactly what it is, but I know my higher power is there. I know my higher power got me out of my addiction. I know my higher power is with me, and I know my higher power wants the best for me. And I'm grateful for that. I want my higher power to be, you know, loving and kind and all those, you know, patient and tolerant, because that's, I'm very, you know, I'm not very consistent sometimes, and I need a God that if I don't do that, I'm not going to be condemned. And, I don't know, I'm just real grateful for this program. I'm real grateful to be here. I'm really glad that I have chances, opportunities to be in places like this, and just notice the little things in life. And to me, that's spiritual. getting to see your kids smile, getting to see, you know, other people laugh and just having a good time. That's spiritual to me. That is just, you know, filling your soul with just happiness. And, you know, it's not all happy, though. You know, there are some bad times, but knowing that my biggest tool this time is this too shall pass, and I'm real grateful for that, because before, once I would get in, like, a bad spot, I would think I'm stuck there, this is the way it's going to be forever, and today I know that it's not. This too shall pass. I just need to be patient. I just need to do what I got to do to get through it, and I don't know, with just this program set up the way it is, I'm able to do that, and you know, I beat myself up a lot because I think I should be, you know I should be working a better program, and I should be doing this. And, I'll justify it with, well, at least you're clean. But I know just being clean doesn't last very long. You got to do some work. And the work in here isn't real hard. It's just a matter of the willingness. And I don't know. I'm just real grateful to be here, and thank you.